Good afternoon. Quick review of Sunday's performance. Obviously, it was a good performance for us, really, in all three phases. Good contributions from all people involved. You know, some big theme things that we focused on the last several weeks, we're starting to see develop in our play, which is a good sign for us. We've talked openly about improving our yards per carry offensively. I think we've done that over the last month or so, and I think it has helped us become more balanced, making us tougher to defend, enabling us to possess the ball. On defense, about a month ago, we looked back, and I think opponents were converting about 49% of their third down opportunities against us. We've challenged ourselves in that way, and since that time, we've grown. We've 2 of 10 in the football game, and I think we've got the cumulative number down around 41%, which is moving closer to what we're comfortable with. Obviously, there's still room for growth in that area. And in the team's game, we felt like that we've had dangerous return men when we're not shooting ourselves in the foot. And I think largely we were able to do that on Sunday. And I think the field position that our return game provided was an asset to us in the football game. But like the quality depth at the return position, I thought what Emmanuel was able to provide us as a third punt returner, if you will, I thought was helpful to us and much appreciated. But we'll take these lessons learned, our ability to battle through obscure circumstances and so forth. Hopefully, it's something that will strengthen us as we move forward. I know that will be in our intentions as we prepare for this opportunity. From an injury standpoint, we'll talk about some people. Antonio Brown has an ankle sprain, which leaves his participation very much in doubt this week. We'll see what a week takes us. We'll leave the door ajar, but usually those aren't positive things, particularly for someone who earns a living the way he earns a living with his short area quickness and things of that nature, change of direction. Rashard Mendenhall will get some work this week. We'll see where that work leads us. He could be characterized as questionable. I think it'll be another week with Marcus Gilbert and Troy. I think they'll both participate in a limited capacity, but less optimistic about them. Questionable is Stevenson Sylvester with his right hamstring. I think Jonathan Dwyer has got a strong chance to make it. We'll take him day to day and see where the work takes us. And guys that were coming off an injury, Isaac Redman and Lamar Woodley, were no worse for the wear. We expect those guys to continue to move forward from a playing standpoint. I thought there were no setbacks during the game or even after the game from a health standpoint with those guys. On to the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, we're excited about playing Monday Night Football here at our place. We don't take that lightly. Getting an opportunity to play primetime in front of our peers in the nation. Obviously, Kansas City has gone through some tough things and some transitions and so forth, be it at quarterback, who's calling defenses and starting corners and so forth. But, you know, that's not our concern. Our concern is our level of preparation and ultimately our play. I'll talk about these guys briefly. Offensively, I think the first thing when you talk about defending these guys is we got to be sound against the run. They're third in the league in rushing. I think in fifth in yards per carry. They've got some quality guys that can run the football. Jamaal Charles leading that charge. You know, he's in the top five or six or so in the league in rushing. He's one of those one-hit guys, man. He can, anytime the ball snaps, he's capable of scoring from long distances. He's already had a 91-yard touchdown this year. They picked up Peyton Hillis, somebody that, of course, we're familiar with defending in the offseason. He's a contrasting runner to Jamaal, but a great compliment to him. He's a powerful, deliberate, one-cut downhill runner, finishes with a strong run demeanor. He supplements him and supplements him well. McCluster is a wide-out slash running back slash wildcat guy. We better be prepared to defend him in the wildcat. When you look at the coaching staff, particularly Brian, their offensive coordinator, he spent some time in Cleveland. We're familiar with him schematically. They've had a great deal of success against us in the past with wildcat-like attacks when he utilized Joshua Cribbs specifically. We expect them to potentially use McCluster in a similar manner they have in recent weeks. They have against us in the past, and he's a talented guy in that way. We need to get that thing squared away and stopped. Obviously, at the quarterback position, there's some unrest between the two guys, whether it's Matt Castle or Brady Quinn. We'll follow the reports just like you guys do during the course of the week. Obviously, we'll watch and study them both and see what they do similarly and what they do differently schematically when they're in there, and to the best of our ability to be prepared to defend either. At the wide receiver position, I think it starts with Dwayne Bowe. He's fifth in the league in third down receptions. He's a big, strong, combative guy, probably one of the best combat catch guys in football. He draws a lot of defensive pass interference penalties. He's strong at the catch point. He's tough to get on the ground. I think the same thing could be said for John Baldwin, a young, talented first-rounder from right here next door at Pitt. Playing opposite of him, I know he's not unfamiliar with Heinz Field and playing in that environment. He's a big guy. He plays big. He's tough to deal with down the field, and he also is tough to get on the ground. We got a hands full with those guys, particularly in combat-like situations. If you look at them defensively, I think the thing that stands out is their linebacking core. Tamba Ali is an impressive guy when you watch him on tape. He has a relentless motor. His partner in crime is Houston. Together, they have 11 sacks. They put consistent pressure on the quarterback. You don't know which side they're coming from. They flop. Both guys play right and left. In the inside linebacker position, Derek Johnson is their guy. He leads the charge. He's a sideline-to-sideline tackler. Very quick read and reacts guy. Will take the calculated risks associated with inside linebackers. He'll run through gaps. He'll run underneath blocks and still consistently make plays. He's very good in coverage, particularly underneath coverage, man-to-man stuff versus backs and so forth. Up front, they've got three first-rounders in Jackson and Poe. And, of course, I don't know if Dorsey's going to play, but if he does, he's a first-rounder. They got some top-quality young pedigree up front. And in the secondary, they've got some young talent in Eric Berry. And, of course, Javier Arenas is playing for them there at corner since they released Stanford Rout. Javier is a guy that we liked in the draft, a very aware, tough, instinctual football player, good at playing outside and inside. And, of course, the other corner is Brandon Flowers, a veteran now from Virginia Tech, who's got really rock-solid ball skills. In the kicking game, they're solid. Colquitt, of course, is one of the more solid, established punters in the business. And suck up their place kickers, 14 to 15 on the year. I think he hit 22 in a row last year. He's been highly consistent. And, of course, they got dangerous return men, whether you're talking about McCluster or Javier Arenas, or even whether they choose to go to Jamal Charles, who ran the kickoff back against us a few years ago. They have very capable men in that area. You ask why they 1-7, quite honestly, in a nutshell, is because they've turned the ball over, or they've significantly lost the turnover in the battle. They're minus 21 for the season. We pushed them last in the NFL. Like to think that's something that's comforting for us, but to be quite honest with you, it's not like we've been a juggernaut in terms of getting turnovers. We've done a better job of getting off the field, but we haven't done a great job of getting turnovers. We're probably one of the worst in the league ourselves in that area. So we're preparing for Monday's opportunity and excited about doing it. Be happy to address any questions you might have.
Unless I missed it, did you not mention Chris Rainey? Is he okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. Rainey has a rib injury. It's going to be big time uncomfortable, but he has an opportunity to play. We'll see where it takes us as we push through the week. His participation might be limited the early parts of the week.
Do you know what you would do in your return game without 84 and he?
You know, Emmanuel Sanders looked like a pretty good option to me last week. The ball would be in his court first.
Both kickoff and punt?
Certainly.
Did Rainey fall on a ball or what?
Specifically, I don't know what happened. I think he looked like he also got hit there at the very end of the play, which could have been a possibility. I haven't talked to him directly about it. Been more focused on getting injury information in regards to how to go about getting well as quickly as we can.
Mike, in terms of the defensive third down stops, how much of it is what you guys are doing on first and second down? And what are y'all doing on first and second down maybe that you weren't doing?
You know, I don't know if we're doing anything differently. I just think that we're growing and doing it better. You know, over the course of a football season, you'd like to think that defenders have an opportunity to grow, not only in terms of what they do, but in terms of understanding how what they do fits into the big picture. We've had some young guys playing significant components of situational football for us, specifically third down. You look at a young second-year player like Cortez Allen, infused in the middle of that as a nickel corner. I just think over time we're playing better football, specifically situationally, and not that we're doing anything differently or dramatically differently schematically. Of course, over the course of eight games or so, as you go through a season, your packages are going to grow as you add to, you keep some, and so forth. The packages are probably bigger now than they were at the early portions of the year, but nothing dramatic.
As far as Charles goes, he had some really big numbers about the first five, this first 6 weeks of the season. They've gone down a little bit. The team's just been keying on him more. Blocking not as good. He's been dinged up. What's the biggest reason why?
You know, it's probably a myriad of those things. They're probably better equipped to answer than myself. I know they've been behind some, and sometimes game circumstances dictate how often your featured runner gets touches.
Mike, how much different is when Todd was there last year as Kansas City's coach with the offense, how much different do they look this year to you offensively than a year
ago? They're different. I can relate them to the Cleveland group that we've been familiar with schematically. When Coach Cornell and Bryant were in Cleveland, I draw correlations to that as opposed to looking at what they did with Todd a year ago.
That being said, is it helpful to have a guy who's obviously very familiar with their personnel? I mean, can that be helpful to you guys?
Yeah, I think it can, but make no mistake about it, it's not changing our process in terms of how we prepare, the manner in which we put our plan together. It's not going to change at all. Todd's not going to stand up and give any grand speeches about their personnel or things of that nature. We're going through our normal processes in terms of preparing ourselves, and if anything, he provides a nugget or two or some clarity when we get mixed signals in terms of what we see on tape or maybe what we perceive they're capable of.
Mike, if you look, you talk about the play of Will Allen, and has his play at all altered what you do with Ryan Clark? Is Clark acting more like a strong safety than a free safety because of Allen's presence?
You know, Will's done a nice job for us playing in place of Troy over the last several weeks. You know, the assets of his game is I think he's a deliberate run force guy. He's got good range. He's consistently physical. He's flexible positionally. But we're not doing anything different with Ryan because he's in there. Ryan has the ability to play both strong and free and does quite often when paired with Troy, and he's still able to do that with Will because of Will's versatility as well.
Mike, how do you evaluate Keenan's performance even with those penalties that he was called?
You know, I think the arrow's been pointed up with Keenan more than anything. He's been consistently challenging and competing just with just about every throw, and I just think, you know, that's a great place for solid corner play to begin, to challenge throws consistently. He has done that, has been productive, and has been a big component of why we've been hot, particularly on the back end in recent weeks.
Coach, with the results of the running game the past few weeks, can you say that the offensive line's been working with the unity and synergy that's needed?
Yeah, I like, you know, what the group has done to this point. And, you know, we were just talking about Will Allen and the stability that he's kind of provided while filling in for Troy. I think you could say the same thing about guys like Mike Adams in place of Marcus Gilbert. I think that we're finding good group cohesion. I think that we're developing a consistent personality and demeanor. But more than anything, I think the guys are growing and working over the course of this journey that is the season, and getting good, solid leadership from guys like Marquise and Willie Colon.
Mike, because of the production you've had from Isaac and Jonathan, does that allow you to be a little more extra careful with Rashard coming back?
No, we don't base our judgments regarding health on production of others. We base our judgments on health regarding the health itself. And when he's ready to go, we'll proceed with him. But it is comforting to know that we, have capable people ready to take the charge when given the opportunity.
Mike, you mentioned Emmanuel in the return game, but since you lost two of those guys the last Sunday, who's the next guy up if something were to happen there?
You know, we've got capable candidates, some of which are limited in terms of what we'll allow or ask them to do. Jericho Cotri has caught punts for us and in his career in the past. More of a fair catch type guy, but we have capable guys. Mike Wallace has returned kicks in the past. We'll leave no stone unturned in terms of being competent in that area. And I know that we have a lot of guys that are willing and capable volunteers.
Speaking of Jericho, how much of a luxury is that for you to have a guy just to bring him in when a guy like Antonio Brown goes down?
You know, not a luxury, a necessity. We need quality guys that are capable of upholding the standard when given an opportunity. And Jericho is one of the first ones you think about when you think about that mantra. This is a guy that's consistently professional and prepared, capable of playing multiple positions, and really, when one of three guys at the wideout position go down, you really don't bat an eye.
Mike, we have to add a wideout to the roster at the end of the week?
Potentially. And one of the things about offense and offensive personnel groups, you dictate what it is that you choose to use. So obviously that's something that we'll consider, but definitely not something that's a necessity at this point.
Mike, we've seen a couple more gadget plays this year, the throw to Baron Batch, the fake kick. Is that a change in philosophy from you? Is that Todd Haley's addition to this, or is it just kind of circumstance that these plays are?
Now, I like to think I've been aggressive, you know, since I've been here. I know that I'm not going to apologize for turning over any stone in search of victory.
Mike, I think Max was quoted after the game as saying that the running game, one of the reasons the running game has been productive is because there's been one guy back there and it hasn't been a rotation of backs. I mean, when you get three guys healthy, will it be a situational thing, or will you go back and say, this is our guy, and then whichever one of the three it is, and then you'll use other guys? Just
whoever's being productive when healthy is going to get the totes. I really think it's that simple. I'm not going to make it any more complex than it has to be. At times this season, we've had a running back by committee approach because none of them have been overly effective at that time. When someone's effective, they'll get the ball.
Anything else?
Mike, well, you are able to run the ball as you've been able to run it. Does that infect the rest of the team with a personality, a swagger? It's a physical game and you're dominating people physically?
I think it's one of the many things that does that. I think that when you're moving the chains consistently and getting first downs and possessing the ball, it does that. I think when you're smashing the run defensively or getting off in third down situations defensively, it does that. When you're aggressive in kick coverage, I think it provides a certain amount of swagger for a football team. When you're explosive and opportunistic in the kick return game, it does the same. So there are many ways to produce that swagger. That's just one of them.
All right, Coach.
Thank you.